This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. It's great to see you again. And today we've got a delight to catch up with Rita Suarez, who's in Victoria in Australia. And she's had some new arrivals on the farm. So here we go. Rita, it's lovely to see you. Thank you so much for being on the podcast again. How are you doing?
Thank you, Steve. I love coming here and seeing your face and talking to you. So I'm doing really well, and I'm glad to be here.
Oh, thank you. So seasons, we're into a season change. We're kind of going into spring here in the UK, and I think you're just going into autumn. Is that right?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. But it's also been very, very, very dry. I mean, for you, it's been dry the last week, but I think you've had a longer spell of drought where you are. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. So since we've been here at this farm for 5 years, this has been the driest. Mm. We've had to, there's pretty much nothing on the ground. So the ground is just
dirt.
And we are in Victoria.
Yeah.
And a very similar situation in South Australia and sort of the southern part of Victoria.
Mm.
So not much rain happening. And it's impacted us. Thankfully, all the animals are fine. All the animals are okay. We are in a good situation that we are not overstocked. And got the funds to buy hay.
Right. Yeah. I think I saw your partner rolling a big hay bale, but the round one,
yes,
and rolling it, and the alpacas trying to feed on it as they were going, as it was being rolled into the field, which was lovely.
Yes. So we get a combination of small squares,
yeah,
and big round bales,
yeah.
Because it's a funny thing, we are on 25 acres, but we still don't have a tractor.
Well, it's a big investment, and do you need it enough?
Yes,
all the time to justify having one. But yeah,
yeah. So we will buy a tractor down the track, but it's very expensive. What we do, we get the hay delivered.
Right.
And thankfully, it's sort of flattish land.
Yeah.
So we can just push the big, you know, round bales. And the alpacas follow.
Yeah. I'm delighted to see. So there's a lot of stuff like that, photographs and little videos that you do on Instagram. So we'll make sure we come back to that at the end and make sure you can share the connections there, which would be great. So anything happening today?
Well, I'm very excited that another part of the farm is finished. So
never ending, isn't it?
Never ending. But we have someone that's putting up some more gates for us, and another laneway and fencing our vegetable patch.
What, you don't let the alpacas into the vegetable patch?
No, we don't.
Oh, they do like it if they can get in there.
They do like it. Well, the funny thing is the area where the vegetable patch is close to the house, and of course it's an area that's very sunny. So the alpacas, it's not part of the paddock, but the alpacas get into the vegetable area when we're moving them from one paddock to another. And the idea is we move them, you know, with purpose, and there's the driveway which they follow, but the vegetable area is very tempting.
I could imagine.
So they see the green.
Yeah, and they think everything's for them.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So it's been a few years, and it was like we decided we need to fence the vegetable patch.
So you can't do it all at once, usually.
No.
And even when you think you've got yourself set up, well, if you're starting out, you get all the things in place, and then you realize, oh, actually, we could have done with another gate here, now that we've used this kind of setup, this isn't quite working. We need to add that. And I think that's just the nature of the thing. And we learn as we go, but also we can add those things in. And you don't have to do it all on day one.
No,
sometimes you don't know what you need until you know what you need.
Absolutely, yes.
Can't plan in advance, but
Yes. Just,
now, you have had some interesting additions because I've seen the pictures. And I've been really excited to talk to you about the llamas.
Yes.
Because you've added some big cousins in with your alpacas.
I've had some big cousins, and I'll tell you the repercussions.
Tell me how you got to the place of deciding to have llamas.
Well, okay. So we've always loved alpacas, and alpacas were the animals for us since the beginning. But when I started handling alpacas and spending more time learning about better handling methods, and learning, you know, camelid dynamics, I became very interested in llamas because Marty McGee Bennett talks a lot about llamas in her book, you know, Camelid Companion. And I was like, oh, it would be lovely to have a llama, but I had never seen them. They're not as common as alpacas in Australia.
Interesting.
Yeah. There are very, very few llamas in Australia. And it was only a few years ago that I met an alpaca farmer that had a llama gelding with his stud males. And the llama had a huge personality. It was and it was like, oh, wow, very different, but similar to alpaca, but just a huge personality. And now what's happened was it's a bit like chain reaction and waves. One alpaca owner in my region got a couple of llamas.
Yeah.
And we all got very excited, right? And then another alpaca owner got a couple of llamas as well. And it started as a chain reaction of these alpaca owners or breeders getting a couple of llamas. And the reason they were getting was, sort of different reasons, but they were very interested in the animal and they wanted to have llamas to show people the difference between alpacas and llamas.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because Steve, every time I go to work, there's always a person, and I've been working at this place for a few years now. They always say, how are your llamas going?
I know.
I say, I don't have llamas. They are alpacas.
Yeah.
So I thought if I...
It's funny. I really don't... Well, you and I wouldn't say that because we're intimately connected with the alpacas. We know the difference. We know that they're alpacas. But even when I've had people here on the farm and I've taken them around, I've talked alpacas, all alpacas. And at the end of the thing, so how long have you had the llamas? And I go... Where did the word llama come from? I didn't mention it. Why is this strong connection? Anyway, it's just that is interesting that it's not just me, and not just here. Yes. It's obviously a universal thing that people connect to so strongly. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
So I've been looking for llamas, and it happened that there was an auction of some llamas. And I joined the Llama Association, which is very, very small.
Yeah.
Very, very small. Yeah. Don't quote me on the numbers, but look, it would be like the amount of llamas in Australia, maybe, I don't know, 5,000.
Okay, yeah.
Something around there.
Yeah.
And alpacas would be, again, I need to check my facts, but it would be like huge, like 200,000 or more, right?
Yeah.
So I got these llamas and...
How many?
We bought four.
Four, yeah.
Four males, young males, about one and a half, but huge.
Yes.
And and they are huge. And my partner, when we went to pick them up, he wasn't happy. He was like, "Well, what are you going to do with these llamas?
What have you done?
What have you done?" And then the process started of getting them used to us and getting them used to the farm. And they were very scared because they hadn't had a lot of handling.
No.
And I thought that was a good challenge for me to see how I would go as a camelid handler, understanding them as camelids.
Yes.
And understanding their differences, but also the similarities to alpacas. So it's been a beautiful journey of deepening my understanding of of camelids.
Yeah.
The alpacas, I think they've been jealous.
I can imagine. They're jealous. I can imagine. Yes.
But I'm telling the alpacas, I'm doing this for you as well, because you guys are related back in the family tree, animal family tree. It all goes back, and it's been amazing. And the very interesting thing is they've come around. So these boys, they are amazing, and they've really learned a lot with me.
Yeah.
So
How exciting! Yeah.
Yes,
fresh new things going on. And is there something that stands out as a difference between them?
Yes, the size.
The size. I knew you were going to say that. Yes.
The size. The size. We had them, you know, castrated, and they were, yes. So the size, you know, stands out.
Yeah.
So
you've got to work with them for them to cooperate with you, because they're not, because sometimes with, particularly with the smaller alpacas and the youngsters, the Kriyas, you can kind of get away with physically containing them and managing them, but a llama is a big, different kind of proposition, really.
Absolutely, yes. And because I am a petite person, I'm only 5 foot tall, I cannot, you know, rely on force with them.
No.
So it's been a very interesting process of using methods and ways that are safe for them and for me.
Excellent.
And no force, no grabbing, nothing of that. They had to be gelded, you know, castrated. Right. Yeah. But I worked with them for about 2 months since their arrival, getting them to come to the handling yard, feeding them. And I think that's when the alpacas started getting jealous, because these llamas were getting lucerne.
Oh, they're getting the treats as well.
They're getting the proper food. and all of that. And when the vet came, and the vet had to sedate them by giving an injection on the neck.
Oh, okay, yeah.
All of them stood still.
Right.
So I was able to use... just gently balance them, just hold them very lightly on the neck.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed that all the llamas, they stood still.
They're trusting.
For the injection.
Amazing. Yeah.
And then, of course, they go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it's done here in Australia.
Sure, yeah.
And the vet was able to do the little surgery.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, yes. Now, very interesting thing about llamas that I found out, these guys needed to be... shorn. They needed to get shearing done.
Yep.
And I had already had my alpaca shorn by the time I bought these guys. So I was trying to contact alpaca shearers.
Yeah.
And I would say 80% of alpaca shearers that I contacted said, we do not do llamas.
No way, they would say.
Yes. No way. They're too big.
Yeah. They've got long legs. I remember there was somebody who had some alpacas and llamas, three llamas, I think, and a couple of alpacas. And I went and I was doing I did the shearing. I helped them out. They got stuck. So I went to help out. We did the shearing for the alpacas. And then they were asking about shearing of the llamas, and they were also wanting, what about toenails and things? So I kind of bent down to, and I was kind of looking at the foot from a distance. Mm-hmm. I wasn't close.
Yes.
I was a long way away, I thought, but I wasn't. I was actually very close in terms of the reach of their leg is very formidable. So I was bending down, all of a sudden this foot whizzed past the end of my nose, and I thought, well, that was close. I won't do that again. And it was just kind of, what are you doing? And it was kind of a protective, keep away from me kind of kick back. But it was so close. And I thought, I didn't know that. I should have thought, but I didn't realize their legs were that long. I can imagine cheering. So did you end up doing them standing up, or how did you?
Well, because they hadn't been handled, I got a shearer, and I actually don't know how this guy did it. I watched it, and I still don't know how he did it.
Hmm.
He did it by himself, just holding them
right
on the ground.
Okay.
But since then, I bought a crush that was made for llamas.
Okay.
And the idea is to train them so that next time we can do them standing up.
Yeah. It doesn't grow as much. They're not primarily fleece producers. So it doesn't grow as much, and it's a bit coarser generally, I guess. For the younger ones might be slightly better, but therefore I think you can kind of do a trimming rather than a pretty shear, which your alpacas like to be sheared pretty for the show ring and stuff.
That's
true. Yeah, so it's more functional probably. Although I don't know. Have you used the fleece at all from the llamas? You thinking about doing anything with it?
Well, we couldn't really use it because it was really, it had just a lot of vegetable matter and nuts and things like that.
Sure. Yeah. So next time.
But we have tried doing a few things just to see, can we do this with llama fiber?
Mm.
And can I show you?
Do.
I'm just showing you.
Oh, look at those. Wonderful. Can I just take a picture of that?
I'll do a screenshot. You can take a picture.
I can share that. There you go. Perfect.
And it's, we felt it. It's beautiful for felting. Of course, it's coarser and it's got a lot more hair.
Which helps then with the felting, yeah.
Yes, but it can be felted and we're just in love with it. So
so good.
You know, it's good, yes. Yeah.
Wow, what a journey.
Yes, and we're stopping the breeding. That's the other thing. That's the major thing.
With the alpacas?
Well. Yes, with the alpacas,
Yeah, we have as well. Our girls have got older. We got some younger ones, but it's kind of also starting to think about our age and thinking, okay, so how long does an alpaca live? Mm, add that to my current age. Mm, and am I still going to be wanting to do the shearing and do the kind of handling and all the rest of it? And actually, we're not finding a clear flow of animals to the right kind of people. So yeah, and then we had some health issues and stuff. Well, us, but also the alpacas. So you've got this mix. It's an older grouping of females more now. So in the end, we decided to not do a year, and then it became two, and then so we've kind of reached the end of that. I think it's a phase, which is an interesting. I wasn't sure when we started how that would work, and when do you decide we're going to stop? And I think it's one of those things that you know when you know, and there are circumstances and things. So yeah, but we concentrate on the fleece.
So do you still have your females and your males on the farm?
So we got nine males, and they're on the. On the hillside or the other side?
The other side.
And they're quite a stable group now. They're getting older, but they're quite a stable group that get on most of the time. Oh, no, they're screaming at each other and they're fighting again. Yeah, but they're boys. They tend to do that.
Yeah.
There's a bit, every now and again, you kind of go, oh, there's a bit of a thing going on, a little bit of bullying or whatever. And one of them tends to get squeezed out. There is the hierarchy. So we just balance things up. We've got one that's almost blind now. He got injured. He got kicked in the head because he was fighting. That's years ago now. So there was an injury to the eye, and he lost most of the sight. And then the other eye's being affected as well as he's getting older, because he's an older boy now. So that's an interesting kind of dimension in there. But he's coping well most of the time. Occasionally, you kind of go, "Oh, okay, he just needs a bit of extra." But if we can get enough food in the right and the timing is right. We can end up where his corner, the food goes in, he'll stand there and he's not competing for the food, because, you know, and if it's all milling around and there's not as much and they're all kind of competing to get the same food, then they get a bit more fractious then. And it's the same with the girls.
Yeah.
But they don't fight in anything like the same way. But they kind of mill around, and I've got these little group of them that gather by the door where the food's coming out from. Me first. So that's interesting, and they're all getting older, it's a different kind of challenge then to work. How do you manage the older animals, and what do they need, and that kind of stuff?
After all this time, I'm still in love with alpacas.
Yay! I know.
You know.
I agree completely. They are special. They are special. It's interesting. I Marty McGee, we mentioned it earlier, that in terms of the camera dynamics handling training. And I know you've done some of that. She's going to be coming to the UK later this year. It is this year now, isn't it? Of course it is. Mm-hmm. Is there a rumor that you might be popping over to join in that workshop?
To join in, yes.
So you never know. Since you're at this side of the universe, maybe we can try and find a way of meeting in person as well. We shall see.
I would really love to meet you.
Yeah,
yes.
So we'll have to work out if there's any possibility of making that happen. But I mean, she started with llamas because in America, alpacas weren't around. It was the llamas. There were more llamas.
Yes.
And that was her first experience then of cameras was with the llamas. And things. So I think she's always had a soft spot for llamas. And they are different, but they are similar. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting kind of thing. And there's also somebody I had as a guest a long time back now. Mm-hmm. And her name is Llamas. But Spanish, you know, kind of.
Yes.
But she's an artist and she would paint alpacas or llamas for people. And for the name, she would, you know, so there was a name and then there was, so she'd do pictures of a thing. So that was I'll put the link for that in the episode notes.
Yes, I'd love to see that.
But there was a, for a season at least, the pictures that she'd done were scaled up and were kind of plastered across the local buses that were driving around in her area. So they had these really big faces and things of llamas driving around on the sides of buses, which is fantastic. So I'll share that again just as a I would like to see them again anyway. So I'll dig those out.
Love to see those.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that kind of thing of learning, keeping learning, staying curious. And I think it's really interesting you saying that you felt you wanted to respond to the challenge of having the llamas as well, that there was a bit of a stretching and trying to be intentional about what you're doing. I think that's, we need to stay curious. There's the day-to-day stuff that needs to be done, but it's kind of having a little bit of capacity to stretch into, well, how can I go a little bit further? How can I learn a little bit more? And we're lifelong learners, I think, alpaca owners generally.
I think
we need to be.
Yes.
It's a good thing to do that, to grow into that. Well, time has gone. It's been lovely spending some time with you, talking alpacas always, and talking llamas as well. That's really exciting. And just hearing the things that are going on and recognizing the similarities, even though we're on opposite sides of the world. Similar challenges, similar things that we're kind of facing and working through, and similar but also different solutions to those challenges. So it's always good to learn from each other and also to hear the latest stories of what's going on as well. So
I know.
Yeah.
I love our chats. They're really good. And hearing from other alpaca people is so important. So your podcast really serves a great purpose.
Hopefully we can get some more
your reminders of intentionality and all these things that you remind us of.
You mean my broken record?
Your broken record.
Oh, he's on about that again. Oh, Steve, he's always talking about that. Yeah. No, yeah. I think some things are we need to be reminded of, but other things it's just good to reinforce. And all the time, it can sound like I'm aware sometimes with the podcast, it can sound like I'm telling people what to do. But I'm always talking to myself. When I'm doing that as well, that it's I'm encouraging myself to, you know, have you done the thought about this? Have you noticed that? What are you going to do about that? Have you done preparation that you need to do, thinking about for the approaching season of shearing or birthing or going through the colder, more challenging weather,
particularly
for the older animals. Yeah. So,
well, we make sense of our stories by telling stories, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Rita, thank you so much. Been lovely to see you and we'll be in touch again.
Lovely seeing you too, Steve. Yes. Thank you.
And there you go. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And we'll be hearing some more from Rita in the coming weeks too. But in the meantime, if you can, go spend some time with your alpacas. And I'll catch you again soon. Take care. Bye for now. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.